This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Clipping of the hit, he's got Matthews in. Matthews scores! Go-ahead goal with 7:54 left. Austin Matthews with his 70th goal, regular season and playoffs this year.
The Stars showed up for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Boy, did they need that one. Austin Matthews does his thing on the breakaway. 3-2 Leafs over the Boston Bruins on an exciting night three of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we got four more games on Tuesday, including some major news with the Nashville Predators and the Vancouver Canucks. Welcome to Sportsnet Today. Logan Gordon along with you, live in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. They're your local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. They're all things basement. You visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Busy show for you today, of course. We'll react to all the action on Monday night in the Stanley Cup playoffs coming up in just moments. Also get you set for night four of the postseason. Caps, Rangers, Lightning, Panthers, Avs, Jets, Predators, and the Vancouver Canucks. Speaking of the Preds and the Canucks, the play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Canucks on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver. Brendan Batchelor is going to join us. Talk about that crazy atmosphere in Game 1, but we've got some big Game 2 news to get to in just moments. We'll also dive into the Leafs-Bruins with our pal Elish Forfar, host of the Fan pregame show on Sportsnet, regular contributor Sportsnet 590, The Fan in Toronto. She's a regular here on the program. You know her and love her. Cam along with us, Shan along with us. We got Greg here as well. Fan feedback line open to you at 960-960. Shan will get us up to date with the Toronto Blue Jays as well with the Jays report. They kicked off their series against the Kansas City Royals with a big victory on Monday, and we'll look ahead to game two of that four-game set with Shan a little bit later on. But let's kick things off with the news of the day, and usually we'd start the program off looking back on an exciting night in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we will do that. But the breaking news as we get set for the show today from Elliot Friedman and other NHL insiders, bad news in Vancouver. Thatcher Demko out for game two and officially questionable for the remainder of the series for the Vancouver Canucks. Game two is tonight in Vancouver, and the mood has shifted for Canucks fans after a good performance in game one, included a pair of goals from Dakota Joshua and good vibes all around Vancouver as they kicked off their series with the Predators. Now comes surprising news that their starting goaltender, who missed a good chunk of the season late in the regular season, I should say, but did return, including a game against the Flames late in the year, and looked to be back to his dominant self with a great performance against the Nashville Predators. He's now out, and as Elliot Friedman, Frank Seravalli, and more have listed, he is now questionable for the rest of the season, or for the rest of the series at least, and that's bad news for the Vancouver Canucks, now definitely giving the goaltending edge to the UC Soros and the Nashville Predators. Rick Tocchet said it wasn't related to a knee injury that did sideline him for 14 games from March 13th to April 13th. Just said that they're going to evaluate him today. Not an old injury. They'll kind of take it day to day, but this is a massive shift in this series. Demko did return for the final two games of the regular season, as I said, had a marvelous 35-14-2 record with a 2.45 goals against average, a 918 save percentage, and five shutouts in 51 games for the Vancouver Canucks. He made 22 saves in that 4-2 victory in Game 1 on Sunday. Casey DeSmith will start in goal for Vancouver. It'll be his second career start in the Stanley Cup playoffs and his first since 2002 when he was a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Arthur Silvos will be his backup. DeSmith, 12-9-6, a 2.89 goals against, an 896 save percentage, and one shutout in 27 starts this season. So those numbers clearly nowhere near the level of starter Thatcher Demko, and we will see just what kind of impact this has. And Chan, look, I still think Vancouver has the edge here. I still think they're the better team, but this certainly opens the door for the Nashville Predators. And the worst part about this, I think, if you're Vancouver, and I'm not expecting to get a lot of details at this time of the year, I didn't see anything Sunday that made me think Thatcher Demko was injured or not going to be ready to go for game two. And this is a goaltender that's already, as I said, missed a significant chunk of games this season.
Yeah, it's, we know that Thatcher Demko has dealt with injuries in the past, and lots of them. And with this being a new injury, that can be either a blessing or a curse, because a new injury, it's like, okay, it's not the knee that you just hurt. You might not need to get surgery, whatever the injury is. But when it's a new injury, it's something that can make you uncomfortable because you haven't dealt with it before. So you don't know what the treatment is and what the recovery is like. So this is big news, because when you talk about Vancouver, they're a complete playoff team. The top end talent in the forward group is 100% there. You've got a number one center. You've got some serious top end scoring. And then you've got a guy like Quinn Hughes, who has been the elite of the elite defensemen, and that pair with Hronek, and just the entire defensive core is great. And then you had the goaltending. You're losing a big chunk of your team without Thatcher Demko. And this Nashville team, I don't put them on the same rank as a Washington or an Islanders team. This Nashville team had a ridiculous stretch to end the rest of the regular season, and they have momentum coming into the playoffs, and they had the lead in the third period. If I'm a Canucks fan, I am legitimately worried. Yes, Canucks a better team for sure. However, Saros is now winning the goalie matchup by a large margin, and I'm starting to get worried for the Canucks.
Farhan Lalji of TSN, who covers the Canucks out in BC for the three-letter network, has reported this recently, too. Despite Rick Tocchet telling us it's not the same injury, Farhan Lalji tweeted this out about 15 minutes ago. He's told that Demko has an injury to the same knee that recently kept him out for 5 weeks. It might not be a reoccurrence of the same injury, but it's the same knee, according to Farhan Lalji, and that's
not good.
Not good. Knee and goalie, never a good combination. It's like hip and goalie.
Yeah.
Never good. And like I said, that most recent knee injury, even if it's not the same one, kept him out for 5 weeks. And he did have an MRI yesterday, according to Lalji, and he's heard the same as others, that it's a questionable at best for Demko to return in this series against the Predators. And the problem is, I mean, even if it's not the same, even if it doesn't have a massive impact in this series, you start to already wonder about round two. Okay, if they can get past Nashville, it's a tougher opponent perhaps in round two, and the longevity of what, you know, and many in Vancouver are hoping is going to be a long Stanley Cup playoff run, now seriously comes into doubt. Because with Thatcher Demko, yeah, can I see that through? For sure, I could see a long playoff run for Vancouver. If it's Casey DeSmith, I'm not sure that's riding you all the way to the promised land. We'll have to wait and see, though. Game two goes tonight. We'll have more on the Thatcher Demko injury and the impact on the Canucks coming up in hour two with Brendan Batchelor, the radio play-by-play voice, of the Vancouver Canucks on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver. That's the major news on this Tuesday, but we're getting set for four games, including the Canucks and the Predators, and we'll focus in on those coming up a little bit later on. But let's flash back. We started it off hearing the great Chris Cuthbert on the call. Auston Matthews scores in the third period to give the Toronto Maple Leafs a much-needed victory in Boston. What a play from the 69 goal scorer in the regular season, who catches the pass in stride, stays onside, and makes a move that probably has Linus Ullmark still wondering where Matthews went. His first of the postseason is an absolute beauty, and they're able to shut it down past there, including Ilya Samsonov with a great performance in game number two. He takes the Bruins out of it in the third period and the second period. Didn't give up anything after Pastrnak and Morgan Geeky got things going in the first. And as we hear from Austin Matthews, despite having the game-winning goal, he gives a lot of credit to his goaltender for the big game two victory for Toronto.
I really honestly just admire his mindset, and he's got you know, a very short memory. If he has a bad game or a bad stretch, you know, he clears it out of his mind, and he just gets back in the net and he competes. And you know, I think as players, we appreciate that so much.
Big one for the Leafs, who needed a bounce back. And look, still some of the penalties they've got to clean up here. But a much better performance, I thought, all around for the Maple Leafs. Bruins did switch things up as they have all season long. They went to Linus Ullmark in game two. Didn't think much of it. It was pretty similar performance to what Swayman gave them in game one. But the Leafs, as Greg Wyshynski told us on the show Monday, Shan, you couldn't walk back to Toronto down 2-0 in this series. It's still to be determined. It's a long series. We're going to find out a lot about this Maple Leafs team, but it almost felt like a bit of a death march heading back to Toronto with a nervous fan base already down 2-0. That was a huge goal by Matthews.
Yeah, that's exactly what you need. You need your top guys that are making that top money to score the big goals, and it was a great play by Matthews. And you know, with the Leafs, I think they played almost as well as they could. I think the first period was definitely a little shaky in that giving up that goal, the Pastrnak goal with 8 seconds left in the first, concerning. And they put together a great effort, and that's what they're going to need. My concern is that they play that well, and I didn't see Boston playing that well by any means. I still think Boston has the advantage here, and yeah, you go back to Toronto. It's not like that place is some ridiculous home ice advantage, because it doesn't get very loud in there. Playoffs certainly helps, but I think it's time for the Leafs fans to get a little loud in there.
It's going to be a big one for Toronto, and they'll need more performances like they had from Austin Matthews in game two. 3 points. He was in on every single Leafs goal, helping them to the victory in game number two. Ailish Forfar is going to join us in hour two to chat more about the Leafs in that victory and just how big it is. And we'll also talk about Mitch Marner, who in 20 minutes of ice time hasn't produced a point in game two, minus one on the night, and just 2 shots on goal. Does Matthews need a little bit more help from Mitch Marner, as William Nylander is still questionable whether or not he'll play in game number three for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Other action on Monday included the Hurricanes and the New York Islanders, and boy, this sure looked like we were talking about an upset of the ages. The Islanders barely able to put anything on net all night long. They finished the night with 12 shots on goal, but they managed to have a 3-0 lead in the second period. Teuvo Teravainen would get them within two with 13:01 left in the second period. 3-1 Islanders heading into the third period. And just like we saw in Vancouver on game number one, a couple of quick goals for Carolina changes the outlook of this series.
Jarvis with it. Svechnikov saves it. They score! Sebastian Aho! And the roof's gone at PNC Arena. And there's still time left here. As Martinuk backs it in, he scores! Jordan Martinuk with the steal and the finish! And it's 4-3 Carolina! What a comeback!
Seth Jarvis kicked things off at 10:43, midway through the third period, to get the Canes back within one. Sebastian Aho and Jordan Martinuk, back-to-back goals in the span of seconds. 17:45 for Aho, 17:54 for Martinuk. Right out of the playbook of the Vancouver Canucks in game one against Nashville, and the game has turned on its head. Jake Guentzel would add an empty netter to seal this one away for the Carolina Hurricanes, who absolutely dominated in almost every facet of the game. I mentioned the Islanders finished the night with 12 shots on goal. Carolina had 39 of them. They were almost 60% on the draw on the night. They had over 110 shot attempts on the night, some of the highest we've ever seen in a postseason game, and the Islanders had 36 blocked shots in his game, and they still weren't able to come out with the win. For head coach Patrick Waugh, the NHL legend, he's been through some tough games, but even he knows that one was a bit of a tough one for his group.
It's a tough loss, no doubt about it, because we had a chance to win that game, but at the same time, we got to regroup and be ready for the next game. I mean, we're going at home, and we need to play well in our building and win game number three. That's all.
That sure would help, Patrick.
Yeah, that would probably help a little bit,
but you know, probably more than 12 shots. It's still unbelievable that they were up 3-0.
I know,
like it's
and like 110 shot attempts is ridiculous.
They were getting dominated.
Yeah.
Now, every facet of the game, and they were still up 3-0.
I have a good feeling that Patrick Waugh is listening right now.
Oh, really?
And I want him to answer something. Text in 960-960,
sure,
Patrick. Why is Ilya Sorokin not playing?
He's the goalie guru, man.
I know I'm not really on the same level as Patrick Waugh in terms of goaltending expertise, but Ilya Sorokin, like last year, was a top 3 to 5 goalie in the league. He's an elite goalie, and you're paying him to be that. And I understand Semyon Varlamov has a ton of playoff experience and knows Patrick Waugh very well, but Ilya Sorokin is one of the top of the top goalies. I can't fully understand why he's not playing.
It is a bit strange. I think Patrick Waugh wants to see his tandem as Allmark Swayman, but I don't think it's at that level.
It's not.
I mean, Sorokin played 56 games this year. His numbers weren't great.
No.
His goals against just over 3 and a .909 save percentage, so it's not great. Varlamov's numbers were better. He was at a 2.60 goals against the .918 save percentage. There's no doubt those are better numbers, but the games played, I mentioned 56 for Sorokin, just 26 for Varlamov, and he's the guy you're going with in net. And here's what I'll say to that, Shan. I don't think you're wrong. Like I would have gone Sorokin. He's 28. He's supposed to be your goaltender of the future.
Yeah.
They've got bigger problems.
Yeah, that is true.
That's the only thing right now. Like if I'm Patrick Waugh, I guess you could talk about that. But I mean, you've got to find a way to not be underwater for the rest of the game. Jordan Martinuk had 5 shots on, like I said, they had 110 shot attempts. Everybody, they were firing from everywhere, and you had no response at all. You tried to goon it up a bit with Clutterbuck and Palmieri and Martin. I guess it doesn't change the fact that you're not a good hockey team compared to the Carolina Hurricanes. So, goalie or not, I mean...
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think Ilya Sorokin would have been in trouble having to deal with that onslaught from Carolina in Game 2 as well. And now they have a 2-0 series lead. And as Patrick Waugh said, series shifts back to the Island for Games 3 and 4. They're going to need a couple of big performances if they want to extend this series. They're down 2-0, as I mentioned, after that loss. How about the Golden Knights and the Stars kicking things off? It's the Vegas Golden Knights 4, Dallas 3, as they open up that series in Dallas. And who else would open the scoring for the Vegas Golden Knights other than Mark Stone on the power play? Just 1:23 in, and he heard the boos. Leah Hextall on the reporter side of things, she got a first intermission interview with Mark Stone, and she was between the benches, and Stone was the only one left on the ice as both teams had cleared out. He was doing the interview with Leah Hextall, and Dallas fans made sure to let him know how they felt about his quick return to play and just how well he looked in his first return to action. A crazy first period, which saw it be 3-2 Vegas after 20 minutes of play. Both teams kind of hammered down on the defensive side of things. Late, Dallas would get within 1 midway through the third period, but not enough to get past the Golden Knights. And this was the worry. If you were the Dallas Stars, this matchup is probably as tough as you could have asked for in round one. And no worry about chemistry. Stone, Hanifin, Tomas Hertl got his first of the postseason as well. This is not going to be an easy series for the Dallas Stars.
No, this is very concerning, especially if you've got Mark Stone, who he looks fine to me.
Okay.
Little conditioning, maybe. I don't like, he looks just fine. So yeah, this is a tough series. It's one that I wish I would have seen in, you know, the Western Conference Final or even round two, but we are getting a treat in round one. We saw how competitive it was yesterday. I can't believe Jake Oettinger. He did not have the best numbers this year, but we still know. We saw what he did against Calgary a couple years ago. Like, this guy is another top-of-the-line goalie, and he looked rough in the beginning of the game. Yeah, picked it up in the second half, but Logan Thompson didn't look all that great to me either. He let in that really soft goal in the third that made it a one-goal game, so I just, you know, if Oettinger doesn't pick it up, I don't really see how you can hold off Vegas.
Yeah, 733 save percentage isn't going to get it done.
No.
Vegas only mustered 15 shots on goal in the entirety of the game, but they were able to beat him enough to get it done. And yeah, the goaltending edge, probably the one that you could safely have given to Dallas to start the series. Everything else, I mean, all things considered, pretty even between these two teams, except that category, and that's the one that shifted the most, at least in game one. We'll have to see what kind of bounce back the Stars have, and especially Jake Oettinger. You know, he'll want to be better in game two after letting in four on 15 shots in game number one. Last game on Monday night was up the road in Edmonton, third straight year. The LA Kings and the Edmonton Oilers have hooked up in round one, and doesn't look like the Kings have learned much about how to stop the Edmonton Oilers.
Hyman reversing to Draisaitl, guides it to Bouchard. McDavid, right faceoff, on tipped home, 6-2. Hyman's got a hat trick.
Good thing he has all that parents' money, or else he wouldn't have been able to put that hat trick home.
Nice one.
But still, the Edmonton Oilers dominate the LA Kings 7-4. Connor McDavid, as you heard on that call, 5 assists on the night in a game one win for the Oilers over the LA Kings. The Oilers were 3-for-4 on the power play, Shan, and I don't know how else to tell the team in LA to stop giving the Oilers power plays. They have kicked your ass on the power play 3 straight years. If that's not message number one, I don't know what is. And you've got Pierre-Luc Dubois taking stupid penalties at the bench, just letting the Oilers light them up. If you just go power play versus everything else in this series, the Oilers are going to win it. What are you guys doing? They're good enough at 5-on-5. You're going to have trouble because you got Cam Talbot in net. And now you're sitting there, like, I get it. The speed of play, the intensity, the physicality. I understand penalties are going to happen. But the stupid penalties, the after-the-whistle ones, the one at the bench from Pierre-Luc Dubois, like, it's got to drive you nuts if you're the Kings. Because if the Oilers get 4 power plays a night, this series is over in 4 games. I have no doubt in my mind. It drove me wild last night to see this Kings team for the third straight year make the same mistakes that they've made. And I'm not saying it's over. I had somebody on Twitter last night say it's a long series. I get it's a long series, but it's not going to be a long series if that's the repeat performance from the LA Kings. Do I think they have a chance? Sure, they've pushed the Oilers before. They've bounced back, and they've won the last 2 game ones in the series the previous year. So yeah, there's always a chance. But that was just another example of why would you let them do what they do best. It was just mind-blowing to watch the Kings fall into the same trap that they've fallen in the last 2 years, Shan.
There are 2 series that are over right now. The New York Rangers and Washington series, that's over. And this Edmonton Oilers and LA Kings series is over. I really don't see a world in which the Kings can come back and win it. Yes, they can certainly win a game or two. I really don't think it's even possible for the Oilers to lose this series, because we saw the speed of the Oilers last night, and you know it's playoff time. There's no holding back. There's no, hey, let's watch our injuries. This is full out, and we saw that with McDavid, and Draisaitl was picking corners, and we saw that, yep, we're going to see Cam Talbot this series, and if this doesn't work out, then it's David Riddick time. I don't think this is over. This one is over. It's an LA team that I would give a chance if they had a better goalie.
I won't go as far as you, because I got a lot of respect for Kempe and for Kopitar, sure, and Deneau, and even a little bit for Drew Doughty.
I know. It hurts, but I know.
It's fun to boo him.
He's been good this year.
Yeah, he still plays 25 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Excuse me. There's still talent on this Kings team, and they haven't been swept by the Oilers the last 2 years.
No.
I don't think the series is over. Last night was just they were down 3-0. They hadn't given the Oilers a power play yet. And then the rest of the game I guess they'd given them the Dubois one early, but they hadn't given up a power play goal yet. And I'm like, you guys, I don't think you understand. You don't have the firepower. I know Stuart Skinner's not a Vezina caliber goaltender, but if you let 97 fly around like that and get 5 assists a night, you'll lose every game.
Yeah.
You have to be harder on that guy. You just can't let that be. And did you miss the 54 goals from Zach Hyman? You want to be a little tougher in front of him on the net?
Exactly what I'm thinking.
That's to me is what really boggled my mind last night from the LA Kings was, there'll be nights when talent beats you. McDavid's the perfect example of that. You can play a perfect game and that guy can just be better than you. But don't tell me last night was your best effort against the Edmonton Oilers. What are the keys when you think about putting this team away for the Oilers? You got to get to Stuart Skinner, and you got to put a lot of pucks on net. Okay, they had 37 shots on goal. They did get 4 on the night. I thought that was okay. You cannot let Connor McDavid gather speed in the neutral zone or down low, because he just opens things up too much, and you have to play him tight. They didn't do that.
No.
Don't give this team power plays. They did that. And Zach Hyman is as good right now in front of the net as anybody in the NHL.
Exactly.
You have to have a guy or a stick on him at all times in front of the net, and they didn't do it. Like, what was the game plan last night? Did nobody mention any of these things? Because I don't think it's a state secret as to what makes the Oilers good. The guy scored 54, and you just let him sit there and do it to you all night. Like, I don't know. Are you just, you're cool with the first round exit year after year, LA? That's got to be, game two better be significantly different for the LA Kings, or else I will start to side more with you, Shan.
Yeah.
That this series is over, because I wasn't encouraged by game one whatsoever. And that's somebody that doesn't want to see the Oilers go any further than they already do. And they already have this year, but I didn't like this matchup with LA from the start. And I certainly don't like it anymore after night one. We'll see what happens in game two. They're going to need a bounce back performance. We got 4 games on the schedule tonight. Capitals need a big win against the Rangers. Game two of that series kicks off at 5:30. It's Battle of Florida again. Lightning Panthers. We'll see how many goals we get in Winnipeg, Avalanche, and Jets at 7:30. And then 8:00, as we mentioned, it's the Preds and the Vancouver Canucks in game number 2. Take a break. Come back on the other side. We'll hear from head coach Rick Tocchet from Vancouver as we continue to monitor the biggest story in the playoffs right now, and that's that Thatcher Demko is out for game 2 and questionable for the remainder of the series. Plus, the Buffalo Sabres. What's old is new in Buffalo. It didn't work with Lindy Ruff before, so let's bring him back again. He's the new head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. We'll talk about that too when Sportsnet Today returns. You're on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. All right, hour one rolling on. Night four of the Stanley Cup playoffs coming your way with four games tonight, including the Preds and the Canucks game two of their round one series. And boy, oh boy, the news not good for the Vancouver Canucks. Thatcher Demko out for game two and questionable for the remainder of the series. And as you can imagine, the vibes in Vancouver feeling a little bit different today than they were after game one.
Yeah, they celebrated like they won the cup. Like they were climbing statues after game one.
It's been a while.
I know it has.
They haven't.
And I respect the passion.
There was the bubble and.
I know. But climbing statues after game one, they're not helping their reputation that they earned in 2011.
What reputation is that, Chad?
Oh, just destroying the entire city after they...
They didn't destroy the statue.
Sure, but they destroyed everything else in downtown Vancouver and surrounding area.
No, but I mean, to the win, they didn't.
They
didn't destroy anything.
I know they didn't destroy anything, but it's about as close as you can get.
Our boss was part of that crowd, damn you.
Was he?
I don't know.
Did he flip a police car?
I just like to imagine that he did.
That yeah.
Part of my favorite thing is imagining art as part of the Vancouver riots in 2011.
I could see.
I think that picture of the guy and the girl kissing.
Yeah.
That was
art?
Actually our boss.
No way.
It's crazy.
That actually checks out.
A couple kids. That's why.
Ah. Yeah.
Passive aggressive. He finds passion in all the aggression and focused on other things. That was after he kicked in a couple of windows.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was more concerned about.
Yeah. You never things you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You learn something every day.
worry about stop. We were just joking around. We're not on everyone. This text comes in. I'm from BC. It was a small group of idiots. Try not to make it over generalization. We're joking. It's been a while. I'm glad you won game one, and I'm glad they had fun. I wasn't even on them about it. Yes, there was a riot. It happened. We're not blaming you, Texter. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. If anything, I was making fun of my boss, who did definitely do it and should have been charged.
100%.
But that's different. Like we said, different vibes in Vancouver. I was grumpy today.
Well,
it's Tuesday.
Tuesday's the worst day of the week.
Tuesday's
I stand by
grumpy.
That.
We'll get to angry Leafs fan in a second, but first on the Vancouver Canucks, the news popping up from NHL insiders, including Elliot Friedman, who hopped on Sportsnet 650, our sister station in Vancouver, to help them immediately break down the news that Thatcher Demko is out for game two and questionable for the rest of the series. Here's Elliot Friedman with Sportsnet 650 with the latest on Demko.
Can you tell our listeners about what you're hearing on the injury in Thatcher Demko?
All I heard is that this basically popped up right after the game. I believe, as you guys know, he didn't do media post-game. Mm-hmm. I think ESPN had asked for him post-game, too, to do an interview with, and he declined all of that, which is unusual. At this time of year, it's an eyebrow raiser if a player does that, and now we obviously have a better reason. I know there's a lot of speculation about the great save he made on Beauvillier. I think it's premature to get to a lot of that stuff. I do think it sounds like it's a new injury. I've got some denials that it's anything related to what has happened before. But the one thing is, people are sitting there saying, how long? I don't think they really know yet, to be perfectly honest. And B, even if they knew, I'm not convinced they would say it so quickly. So the one thing that I was warned about was don't guess. So I'm not guessing because I don't think they really know yet.
So as you said, don't guess, and they're not really sure. We heard day to day from Rick Tocchet, obviously questionable for the rest of this series. On the point of it's not related to the injury he had in the regular season, we all know how careful teams are with information, and I'm seeing reports from Farhan Lalji. He had an MRI on the same knee, but it's a new issue with the same knee. Is there some level of semantics here, right, where, okay, it's the same knee, but it's different, but is this part of, like, a playoff smokescreen that we see so often in the NHL?
Now that it's out, like, honestly, Dan, in my experience is, you know, the teams, they hide until they put it out, and now it's out. And I think, like, if people have long-term injuries, like Andrew Peak got hurt last night, and they're going with week to week. I honestly think when it comes to Demko, it's because they just don't know yet. And the thing about the semantics, all I can tell you is that it appears as, like, even though if it's his knee, you know, he's injured it before, all I'm under the impression is it's not the same injury. So it could it be the same body part? Yes. But is it the same exact injury? I've been led to believe that that's not the case.
You know, I think maybe in prior years we would have said, well, this could be a nail in the coffin for the Canucks. But under Rick Tocchet, Elliot, like they've shown that they can still play good hockey and win hockey games without relying on a goaltender standing on his head.
Well, I think the thing is, like, Demko is so good that you just hate to see that. I think you worry because, you know, you consider him the backbone of the team. The one thing I feel very strongly about, though, guys, is that, like, this year, this team has handled a lot of crazy stuff. Like, you guys know, if you play in Vancouver, you have to handle a lot of waves of emotion. And this team has been very good at doing that, elite at doing that, I would say. They trust the way they play. They trust that they can handle the various swings of a game. I think they are prepared and positioned to handle this kind of a change. But there's no question, Demko is your stud goalie. It's a bigger challenge, but that doesn't mean you're incapable of it.
Elliot, really appreciate you taking a little bit of time here. I know how busy you are. Thanks for doing this. We'll let you get back to the rest of your day.
All right, guys. Take care.
NHL insider Elliot Friedman. Jump it on Sportsnet 650 to help them dive through everything in Vancouver following the Thatcher Demko news. And look, as he says, there's a level of trying to understand what teams are willing to have out there and what is reality and, you know, how they list it and how it's actually going to be handled or different things. So, yeah, it's a tough situation for Vancouver, no doubt about it. I think that they made a good point. I don't think this series is over by any means. I think it makes it very interesting if you're the Nashville Predators, how you go about your business with Casey DeSmith instead of Thatcher Demko. And I think the goalie conversation has definitely shifted and given a lot more credence to UC Saros and what he's doing for the Predators. But yeah, for the Canucks, they at least have a pretty large sample size at the end of the season of life without Thatcher Demko. So this shouldn't be anything new. That doesn't take away the pressure from DeSmith or the fact that if Demko is out long-term, that the Canucks' playoff hopes of going on a long run certainly change. But they've been here before, and that's what Rick Tocchet talked about with the media Tuesday. He came out to do some media avails after morning skate. And the Demko news already out there. And that's what he referenced talking to the media is that stretch that they played late in the season without Thatcher Demko and knowing they can have success even without him in the net.
He won't play tonight and questionable for the series?
Well, he skated yesterday. He's not going to play tonight. We're going to evaluate him today on something. It wasn't the old injury. And that's all I really got for you guys. You know, it's a day-to-day thing.
Can you give us a sense of when it may have happened?
Yesterday, I think. I'm not quite sure. That's why I don't have a timeline exactly, so I don't want to speculate.
You said it happened. It may have happened yesterday in practice.
It might have been in the game, but I'm not quite sure because he skated yesterday. I don't have the exact timeline. That's why I don't want to speculate whether it's, you know, this time or whatever.
How equipped is this team to deal with it, given they've just dealt with it?
Well, I think all year we've had people step up in and out of the lineups. Casey played a big game against Edmonton, what was it, 10 days ago? a huge game for to win the division. So he's done it all year for us. So just moving March forward, guys are excited about tonight's game.
The mentality of playing in the playoffs is one challenge. How does losing your starter, how is that a challenge for you as a coach to help your players?
Well, I was going to the playoffs, and in the speeches, you're going to use 28. If you're going to go far, you're going to use 28 guys. Now, I get certain stars and stuff, I get it, but to go deep, you have to use 28 guys in your lineup. It just mostly goes that far, so you're going to have people step up and the team step up. So that's the mentality.
That's Rick Tocchet, Canucks coach, reacting to the big news today that he will be without his starting goaltender going forward, at least for game two. And as he mentioned, you know, questionable for the remainder of the series against the Nashville Predators. A couple texts came in at 960-960. And this one says, wasn't this the biggest risk everyone talked about when Markstrom was leaving Vancouver, that Demko was injury prone? I don't remember exactly if Demko had that same reputation in Vancouver early on when Markstrom left. But, I mean, certainly looking at it now and understanding COVID was a part of this and they didn't play full seasons and it was a mixture in there, you know, the games played for Demko early on, really just the one season at a starter level, 27 games played in 2019-20, 35 in 2021, then he had 64, 21-22. 32 games in 2022-23, 51 this year, and as mentioned, now hurt for the playoffs again. So, yeah, and I mean, even in that situation, unless Demko was, I would say, considerably injury-prone, they were probably always going to pivot from Markstrom, just knowing that Demko was the cheaper option at the time and younger than Markstrom. But, I mean, I think it's probably fair now to be a little bit worried about Demko, especially now that that knee, if Farhan Lalji's reporting on TSN is correct, and I don't have any reason to believe it's not, that this is a separate injury in the same knee that was hurt earlier this year. I imagine that knee is a pretty big concern now for the Vancouver Canucks, knowing that it's sustained two different injuries in the same season. So, yeah, this is a big one for the Vancouver Canucks, and what exactly is next for this group and how they rebound tonight, knowing all this news came out today. They haven't had a day to let it settle yet. The game's, you know, Tuesday night, and they're going to have to deal with this. Casey DeSmith thrown right in the fire for the Vancouver Canucks. We'll see how Nashville responds as well with a different goaltender set to go for them. Again, the opposing net. Again, Predators and Canucks, your late game tonight on Sportsnet. They're the 8 o'clock puck drop on the Sportsnet television network. Away from the on-ice stuff, off-season begin, of course, for the other half of the league, and that includes coaching decisions, coaching changes around the league. The big one already in Buffalo, after letting go of Don Granato. What's old is new in Buffalo. Lindy Ruff, the face of the franchise at one point in Buffalo as their long-term head coach, was back as their coach announced on Tuesday, and Kevin Adams has made what might be the most important hire of his tenure. The Sabres, in the midst of a 13-year playoff drought, go back to a coach they know very, very well. Lindy Ruff, now 64 years old. He was fired by the Sabres early in the 2012-2013 campaign, which ended a 15-season run as head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, highlighted by a Stanley Cup appearance in 1999. He's now back in the city where he coached and played after stints of the head coach of the Dallas Stars and the New Jersey Devils. Obviously popular with the fan base thanks to some past success, and looking to recreate some of that now with the next generation of Buffalo Sabres players. Here's Elliot Friedman again earlier today on the Jeff Merrick Show on why Lindy Ruff was the choice in Buffalo.
Off the ice yesterday, want to get your thoughts on this one. Lindy Ruff gets hired as the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. As Lance Lisevski mentioned from the Buffalo News, it is a two-year contract. So for those that think that, oh, I don't know, the head coach of the Rochester Americans, Seth Appert, might be the long-term coach, maybe this gives you a little bit of hope. But Lindy Ruff gets hired. It very much feels like a combination. Terry Pegula, Kevin Adams move. Kevin was on the bench with Lindy Ruff for a couple of seasons with the Buffalo Sabres. We've talked about his name as well. We wondered about Craig Berube. What did you think of this hire with the Swords?
Well, I mean, we'll hear more. I guess they're meeting with the media in about half an hour, but it's very clear, Jeff, that this was a targeted hire.
Yeah.
That Kevin Adams, because one of the things when we reported yesterday, I had a bunch of people reach out saying, like, are you serious? And I go, I sure hope so, because I put it out there. And really, I don't think the Sabres, I don't think the Sabres really contacted anybody. Or if they did, it was very minimal. It definitely didn't go down a process.
Right.
Like, it was very clear that Kevin Adams made the change, and the change was going to be Lindy Ruff right from the moment that it happened. And, the thing I think here is there's a couple of things. Number one, Kevin Adams knows this might be his last hire. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I really believe, and I always remember talking to Dean Lombardi about it when he rehired Daryl Sutter. It's like, if you know you're going down, or potentially going down,
right,
you're gonna go down with the person who you think you know best. And so I'm not that surprised at that. Number two, I think the other thing about this is I don't think this is insignificant. And that is Ruff's love for the Sabres.
Sure.
The Sabres they've got the longest playoff drought in the NHL. They've got a fantastic fan base that is furious with the organization. Mm-hmm. Some of them really love Ruff, but they know that Ruff really loves the market. I don't think that's insignificant there. Overall, Lindy Ruff went from a guy who had 110 points 2 years ago and won a playoff round to a guy this year who was suddenly one of the dumbest people on the planet. Like, it's not that simple.
Yeah.
I do think there's a good coach there. I think in New Jersey, if there was an issue, I've been told it's that maybe he was tougher on some guys than others. But he can be very tough. Like, the Sabres talked a big game about they need a coach who can be hard on them.
Yep.
And he can be that guy. Like, I've heard he basically only has like three rules. Like, that's what one of the people in New Jersey told me, is that basically Ruff has three rules. One, be a decent person, two, be on time, and three, play hard. But if you cross those rules, he'll let you know. But, I think it's very clear to me that they are tapping into a person who's incredibly passionate about the market. And Kevin Adams, who knows that this may be his last hire, is saying, if this is going to be it for me, it's going to be it with someone I know.
There's Elliot Friedman on the Lindy Ruff reunion in Buffalo. I got to admit, I get big Daryl Sutter vibes.
Oh, it's
from this hire.
It's completely familiar. Like, here in Calgary, that's
somebody that's had past success, loves the city. City loves him back. Does it necessarily equal? I mean, Daryl Sutter had a pretty good run here.
Absolutely.
Second time around, did it work out to a Stanley Cup or to the same success? No, but I'll be interested to see if Lindy Ruff, there's talent in Buffalo. Is he the one to pull it out? We'll see. I couldn't help listening to all of that and the history and everything and be like, yeah, that really feels like Daryl Sutter 2.0
yeah.
here in Calgary.
I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach, and that season a couple years ago was awesome. And yeah, last year didn't work, sure. It's not to take away from the career that Sutter had when we, make quote-unquote jokes like this. But yeah, like, at the same time with Buffalo, their goal is just to make the playoffs. They're the one team where they make the playoffs, and that is a Stanley Cup for them, because then you can build going forward. So I certainly think he's qualified, and I think he's a good coach, and I think he's got a chance to do it.
Take a break. Come back on the other side. We'll focus in on the Leafs and the Bruins. Their series now tied at one after a big win from the Leafs in game number two. Ailish Forfar is going to join us next, plus more on the Canucks with the play-by-play voice, Brendan Batcher. All of that when hour two kicks off next. You're on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.